This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's January 13th, episode 826, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable host, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me. But I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, that's right. Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you being here. Jamie, you had two things going on over the weekend. You were trying to recover using equine drugs from the malady that you had. And also, you had a great big party. So how'd they go?
Yeah, we did. Well, the SMZs are working. I'm kicking this little chest cold that I've had for, I don't know, my entire life, it seems like, a couple months anyway. And I'm feeling better. And thank you, S&Zs are kicking in. And I'm not whinnying, and I have no extra hair growth because I know that was your next question.
Yeah, that was my next question.
Just normal.
Okay. Well, good. Glad to hear
it. And the party went great. Of course, I'm still like hungover from working. Not hungover. There's no time to even. I didn't get any food. I didn't get any drinks. I just was running. I feel running around like crazy because, as you guys know, we had about 130 people come to this party. It was crazy. I didn't know my property would support that many people. And I'm in the backyard, and I realized my whole backyard is full. I walk through my house. My house is full, and I walk into the front yard where the bouncy castle is, and my front yard is full. It looked like a dang carnival, a school carnival. So it was really fun. I made my husband a birthday cake, as you saw on Facebook, Glenn. I actually just made four cakes, and I put them all next to each other and iced the top of the whole thing so it looked like this big, giant cake.
Yeah, it's about the size of your dressage ring, actually. It was a huge cake.
It was huge. I was pretty proud of myself, and like I have the artistic skills of a third grader. So I wrote with icing just like a third grader would. You know, happy birthday, John. You know, I wrote 40 on there, and it was great. And this is something that you would do probably. And maybe I'm wrong, Jennifer. Maybe he's better than this, but. You know, we all sing happy birthday, and Chad goes to blow out the candle. Just one candle said 40. And he blows out the candle, and everybody's like, speech, you know, and he's like, I just want to thank everybody for coming. This has been really great. It means a lot to me that you guys all came. I'd like to thank the girls who were the ones giving the pony rides, because I'd hired some students to give pony rides. I'd like to thank the girls for giving pony rides, and it's the Bouncy Castle's pretty popular, so I'd like to thank the Bouncy Castle guy for coming out and set up the Bouncy Castle, and everybody have a great time. And somebody behind him is like, and he's like, oh, and I'd like to thank my wife, and I was like, I said, I'm like, did you just thank the freaking Bouncy Castle guy before me? Really? I'm the afterthought? Are you crazy? Of course, I tried to maintain composure, but let's just say that in my house, the Bouncy Castle guy has been mentioned about 400 times by me. Like, I made dinner last night. I'm like, everybody, enjoy your dinner. I would like to thank the Bouncy Castle guy for making me my dinner. I'm like, are you kidding me? I think I paid the freaking Bouncy Castle guy. Is that something that Glenn would do? And once he thanked me, there was like 100 people around there like, good recovery. Good recovery.
Did he sleep on the did he sleep in the Bouncy Castle that night?
He just about did. Thank God he saved it. And he ended up, I mean, it was bad. It was really bad. It was so dumb. And I'm standing there like, you just blew out the freaking cake that took me 2 days to make. You're standing here in a party where I've organized it and cleaned everything. And you're thanking the GD Bouncy Castle guy. Are you freaking kidding me?
I can see me doing something like that. I can see any guy doing something like that. I really can't.
I mean to tell you, I was like, I was being cold, but I'm like, he's sleeping in the Bouncy Castle if that happens again. So yes, you are correct. I could see guys doing it. It was not my guy.
Well, you know, it's just like when he was put on the spot. So to defend him just a little bit, he was not much though, because I don't want to be sleeping in the Bouncy Castle. But it's like the Golden Globe Awards last night, which I didn't watch, by the way. But you know that the half the people get up there forget to thank somebody, and most of them forget to thank their family and their wife or their husband. So, you know, it's like that. He was put on the spot. If he had had more than a couple of seconds to think about it, I am sure that you would have been first on the list. Because one of his friends would have reminded him beforehand.
Yeah. You know, God forbid that somebody asks you to say something after blowing out the candles. Like, everybody says something after blowing out the candles. It's not like it was a big, like he's on the stage and he's winning a Gold Glove or an Oscar. Like, I'm standing right next to you.
See, he would have been much better off. He would have been much better off and wouldn't have gotten any trouble at all if he had just said, after you said, well, you know, let the speech. And if he just said, let's eat, that'd have been it. It'd have been over.
Oh, God. That'd have been dead, too. There's really no, it's just thank your wife. It's just the only way to win. So there you go.
I'll keep that in mind.
That's it.
For my next big birthday. I will keep that in mind.
Yes. Definitely.
Speaking of wives, Jennifer, my lovely wife, who I'm going to go to first today to find out what's on today's show.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, following a National Enquirer-worthy recap of the best weekend's parties, as you just heard, we get down to business with Diane Little, here with another helpful bit of advice for hunter-jumper riders everywhere. And welcoming in the week, High Visibility North America has generously provided the Horse Nation's Wacky World of Horses. Stay tuned for the fray.
Thank you, my lovely, dear, sweet wife, Jennifer. See, am I doing okay?
You know you're not in trouble. It was my husband.
Oh, he will be. It's a daily thing.
Oh, yes.
I'm saving it. Daily Winnie time. I've just changed my Daily Winnie now. I have three really quick ones. First, I would like to thank Jamie for being my co-host. I already thanked my wife, so I got that covered. I'd like to thank Jamie for being my co-host. She's absolutely lovely and sweet. Thank you, Jamie. That was my first one.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. You're welcome.
Do I have to sleep in the Bouncy Castle now? Or am I good?
You're on.
Poor Chad. I would like to give a happy birthday to Reese Koffler Stanfield, host of the Dressage Radio Show.
Happy birthday.
She is in Africa, so she probably didn't hear this. She's been over there. She's over there for 2 weeks, so, and having a good time, judging by the pictures I saw on Facebook. So anyway, happy birthday, Reese. And the third quick one goes out to the poor schmucks who had to clean up the sewage that spilled onto the red carpet at the awards ceremony last night at the Golden Globes, right before it started. Before they were all supposed to walk down, a sewage pipe broke and it spilled all the sewage right onto the red carpet. It was gross.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. There are pictures of the red carpet covered in brown goop. Yes.
Wow. It must have smelled so bad in there.
I think
the whole ceremony. I didn't know. I didn't watch TV.
I didn't either, but it was on. It was in the news this morning. I thought it was very funny. So anyway.
Oh, well, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Thank you.
My Daily Whinny is going to go out to a horse named Midnight Hawk. Midnight Hawk won over Christo over the weekend in the Sham Stakes. The Sham Stakes is one of the road to the Kentucky Derby races for three-year-olds. And Midnight Hawk is the son of Midnight Loot, and he is owned by a partnership group that includes the Atlanta Falcons offensive line coach Mike Tice and the Stanley Cup Blackhawks coach, Stanley Cup champion Blackhawks coach Joel Quenneville, and he's owned with a couple other guys. So this is going to be one of those, if he gets to the Derby, this is going to be one of those stories that we're going to be watching. The fact that the Chicago Blackhawks coach and a coach for the Falcons share partnership in a horse named Midnight Hawk. So one to watch. Congratulations. He got 10 points towards the road to the Kentucky Derby. So we may be hearing a lot more about him. So Midnight Hawk, you heard it here first, people. It's going to be a good story.
There you go. Hey, congratulations to Pegasus Award winner for her third time, BZ Madden of Hunter Jumper fame, and won the Equestrian of the Year for the USEF at the awards ceremony over the weekend. She's only the second person to ever have won the award three times. She won in 2005 and 2006, and now has the 2013 Equestrian of the Year title. And, of course, she's done very well. She's a dual Olympic team gold medalist. She has won almost every jumping show there is to win, as well as a ton of money. And so she did win that this year. Her horse, Simonitz. I think it's Simonitz, won Horse of the Year for 2013. So she not only did she get Equestrian of the Year, her horse also got Horse of the Year for 2013. So congratulations to BZ Madden. And also, I have to say the Becky Grant Hart Trophy, which is presented to the person that's an international level non-Olympic athlete, went to Chester Weber, my neighbor here. Lives about 4 miles down the road.
All right.
Yep. Chester added his legacy in 2013. He was abroad. He won a bunch of stuff overseas. I'm not going to go through them all. But he did very well overseas this year with his four-in-hand team. And so congratulations to Chester. And that's, of course, of the driving world. So, and then there were a bunch of other awards, too, that I didn't know any of them. So I didn't write them down. Sort of like the Golden Globes last night. I looked at who won the Golden Globes last night, and it was like, okay, I haven't seen that TV show. I pretty much didn't see any of it, so I thought, well, if you want to talk about the Golden Globes, we can, but I didn't know any of it, pretty much.
I didn't even know that the Golden Globes were on last night, sadly. I watched a movie. I have a friend that came in town. We were watching a movie, so didn't even know that it was there. So I'm actually Googling Golden Globes right now, and I will have my opinion in about, I don't know, a couple minutes. No, just kidding. I don't know who any of them are. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of the movies.
Well, dancing.
The fact that Matthew McConaughey won. I mean, did you guys see Matthew McConaughey, like, in the previews for that movie he won for?
No. Which movie did he
won for? He lost like 30 pounds.
Oh, that one. Yes. Something about Texas Club. I forget the name of it. It's something like that. American Hustle was the one. I don't know anything about American Hustle. Do you? That won a bunch of awards.
I would like to say that my ex-boyfriend won for Best Actor, I'm noticing.
Yeah, and that movie got panned by the critics. The one, you're talking about Leonardo DiCaprio?
Of course.
Yes, that movie got panned by the critics because it was just so much drug use, so much profanity, so much nudity. I mean, it really got panned. Oh, Dallas Buyers Club was the one you were thinking of with McConaughey. But yeah, 12 Years a Slave won. Yeah, 12 Years a Slave won, and is going to win the Oscars, too, don't you think?
And then Gravity won for Best Director, so there you go. That's good.
That was pretty much all I had.
At least won something. I think that should win Best Picture. Well, we'll see. Anyway, the news is trickling in to us because we don't care.
That's right.
we'll talk about the Oscars. How about that?
Yeah, we'll get to the Oscars when they actually come up.
I feel like for you, Glenn. Sadly, over the weekend, exploring Jessica Phoenix's longtime advanced partner passed away, and she wrote this. She says, "It's with extreme sadness that I'm writing to let you know," this is on Eventing Nation, "that Exploring, more affectionately known as Digby, suddenly passed away this morning. Words cannot convey the grief I'm feeling right now. I have lost a true partner and a beloved part of our family. Arriving at our farm in Florida, Digby was frisky and excited to be in warm weather where he could gallop and play in his paddock. He was his spunky self, prancing around and full of attitude. When I went to him this morning, he was uncharacteristically lying down, and I immediately knew something was wrong. I quickly called our vet. As we waited for her to arrive, Digby closed his eyes for the last time.
Wow.
The suspected cause is internal hemorrhaging, and I take solace in knowing that he wasn't in pain when he passed. We did everything we could, but unfortunately, there was nothing that could be done to save him."
Wow.
She goes on to say, "I have peace." And no, I know, I mean, this is heartbreaking. "I have peace in knowing that I was with him as he took his last breath. He meant more to me than I can express, and as you can imagine, we are devastated. Digby and I had an unbreakable bond. He is forever in my heart, my partner that brought me to the international level of competition and always gave his all. We trusted each other completely, traveling around the world together and accomplishing so much. Digby, we celebrate your incredible life and your accomplishments as we say goodbye." My God. Had she retired him?
I think she was somebody. I'm not sure if she was riding him or somebody was riding him at the lower levels, you know, one of her students or something. I met that horse several times at the Kentucky Horse Park when she'd come in for Rolex or for, you know, for various events. They did. I mean, that was the horse that really brought her up through the ranks and got her to the point where she was well known, you know.
"Exploring spent the final years of his career mentoring talented junior rider Alyssa Phillips throughout the young rider ranks." Yeah,
I thought that was what was happening with that one. And I obviously the horse traveled to Florida. She comes down to Ocala here, and obviously the horse came along. I mean, she didn't leave it up in Canada. So,
Yeah.
Well, that is very sad.
But again, at least she got to be there with him. So, but God, that's just heartbreaking.
Well, let's go on to a little bit better news from the world, from the state of Florida as well. For the sixth consecutive year, the women, the hunter jumper women, have beat the hunter jumper men in the battle of the sexes. Every year we talk about this, and every year the women beat the men, and it's just like, what's wrong with these men? Do you think they let them win? That's it. The men are letting them win. I figured it out.
Oh, you are so. Now you're sleeping in the bouncy castle.
It was all the usual names lead the way in the women's side there. That was the sixth year in a row that happened. So,
wow.
There you go. What other exciting news do you have?
Women are better.
Hey, speaking
well,
of...
I think this is pretty cool. Jennifer, have you ever heard of a horse called a retuerta? No, should I have? We got to write this down. It's R-E-T-U-E-R-T-A. It's called a retuerta, and it's a very, very endangered horse. It's one of the oldest horse breeds in Europe, and apparently most closely resembles the race of ancient Iberian horses that were running wild before Europe was even domesticated, I guess. So retuertas are nearly extinct. There's only 150 remaining in Donania National Park, which is where I rode and galloped on the beach and did all that in Spain. That's where the equitrekking episode was filmed, in Donania National Park. I didn't know there was wild horses in there. I'd been looking for them. But there's a single cluster of wild horses. But if some disease comes through, they could all be wiped out. So wildlife experts have arranged and have done so now to have two batches of two dozen each brought into this biological reserve called Campanarios de Abaza Biological Reserve. It's an unfenced area of western Spain that they think was native territory for this breed of horses. And they have now set 4 dozen Retuerta horses released into Western Spain over the past 2 years. And they just released their fourth group. And this was just news to me because I've never, ever heard of these horses. The picture of them, they look like kind of thick, like Andalusians, but they have virtually no tail and the really short.
What's with the no tail thing?
I don't know. They have like a dock of tail, but the hair, it looks like the hair has been shaved off the dock almost.
Yeah.
So maybe that's just their tail. I don't know what the hell. Google, we're Twitter.
Okay, we need to find out. Inquiring minds need to know.
We need to do a breed spotlight on this. Find somebody who actually knows something about the Retuerta horses, if I'm even saying that right. But it's just so cool. These are almost extinct horses, and they're repopulating them and setting them. Where in America, we're capturing all the wild horses and slaughtering all of them. These guys are breeding them and setting them free. So we need to get on board with those people and get them over here in the U.S. and start taking care of our Mustangs a little better. But just really, really cool. 150 wild horses that's virtually extinct. So the fact that there's now some more out there, I think it's really, really cool. Isn't that a good story?
Good story. That was a happy story. And speaking of wild horses,
now I got another sad story.
Let me do the second happy story about wild horses first. Speaking of awards, it was awards weekend. Bill Richardson, the former governor of New Mexico, everybody might know his name, was named a 2013 Humane Horseman of the Year by the Humane Society. And part of the reason was, if you remember in our coverage of the horse slaughter issue, Bill Richardson was the one really trying to put an end to it here in the United States and was stepping in and was solely responsible, or not solely, but was responsible for having a big sway over getting it slowed down and stopped. It was his foundation that really was spending some money on this project. And also his foundation spends a lot of money on the Mustangs and making sure that they're treated humanely and well. So that's how it ties into your wild horse story, is he's very much into protecting the Mustangs. So congratulations, awesome. Governor. Good job.
Absolutely. Good job. Now, you love to go to the harness tracks and watch.
Don't get me started on this one. Holy cow. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. What a freaking nightmare. For those who don't know, this month, I think it was, it was the 10th. It was the 10th. So 3 days ago, there's harness racing, and it was at... in New Jersey somewhere. Well,
Freehold,
what track is
Freehold
track,
Racetrack. Freehold.
Freehold Racetrack up in New Jersey. It is 37 degrees. It's raining. It's freezing cold. It is muddy. And this, you know how they start the races and the truck or the car starts driving and then the gate pulls away and all the horses start going.
Yeah, the gate is actually attached to the car. This is the way it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like they use a four-wheel drive vehicle or anything. Well, this freaking car takes off and starts driving and the horses start following and then the truck zooms off and the gates are sticking out to the side and it spins out. And horses and drivers go flying everywhere. It was awful. It was awful. And it's not even... interesting to watch. We can post a video if you want, but what was your take on it, Glenn?
Well, one thing is, if the car can't stay on the track because it's too slippery, why are we racing a race? Why are we racing any races if the car can't even stay on the freaking track because it's too slippery? You could see it was slick. And this car just lost control. And what happens is those wings come up and point out to the front. They come to the side of the car. So they're pointing straight ahead. Well, when the car came around, the wings, they were lucky a horse or human did not get decapitated with those wings sticking out and coming around and whacking the horses. And then all the horses just piled up. It was horrible to watch. We posted it on the driving radio show page, and the drivers started chiming in. And I mean, you know, as drivers, wrecks are something that are, you know, our nightmares are wrecking, and you can have some pretty bad wrecks. But this is just, the whole thing was just awful. It's just like, and then they canceled racing for the rest of the day. No shit. Oh, sorry. Beep.
Oh my God.
No crap.
Woo!
Sorry about that. Second time swearing on air. That's me. Sorry.
First time was on the show too. Go ahead. Carry on.
It should have never happened, is what I'm saying. Now I will be sleeping in the bouncy house.
No, because your passion for this is very, you know, it's ridiculous that they were racing. Ridiculous. Nobody should do that. I mean, oh, it's just embarrassing.
It is. I mean, it was awful. It was just, and it was awful to watch. I barely could get through it, to be honest with you. it was awful.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and for the, by the way, let's give an update here. That I just had an update as of this morning. All the horses are fine, which is unbelievable in itself, because the way they crashed and all went over each other, I was predicting that there'd be five horses dead. But all the horses are okay. They did, however, take four of the drivers to the hospital, and I think three of them are still in the hospital. So there's going to be some recovery time for those drivers. And you know what? I'd be suing. It was a bad move.
Well, it doesn't look like one of those horses is okay. I mean, his head went through the thing. It was just terrible. Just terrible. So,
yeah, I mean, that's what they're saying. The horses all survived. I don't know how they survived that. I really don't.
Yeah.
It was bad.
It was awful. So we'll post that link so you guys can watch it if you want. We'll post it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. And if you're listening to this way later and you want to know what we're talking about, just Google standardbred race car crash.
Yeah, Freehold. I mean, just look up accident Freehold track racetrack, and you'll find it. It's there, but watch at your own risk. That's all I'm gonna say, because it's disturbing.
Hey, this is awesome. This is awesome. This is great news for me. In the Golden Globes last night, they do a best TV series.
Yes,
and guess who did not win the best TV series? Because they're not the best TV series.
You mean Big Bang lost once? They lost once?
It lost. It lost to Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is actually kind of entertaining. Best Actress did not go to your girl. She wasn't even nominated. Amy Poehler, Parks and Rec, which is my favorite show on television. And then the Best Actor did not go to Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory. He went to Andy Samberg from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So, what? Yeah, that's right. That's right, Jim Parsons. You're going down. It's not your award season anymore.
You know what, though? They've only won like 10 times. I mean,
I know. It's every single time. He doesn't have anybody else to thank.
That's right.
That's right.
I did see Emma, the girl from the movies that's real hot. Jennifer Lawrence. I did see her. I watched the video of her acceptance speech. She won for something. And I watched her acceptance speech. She is funny. She's so likable. When you see her do any interviews or anything, she's just so likable. And she was very likable in this. She finally at the end said, this is too stressful. I just don't give me any more awards, and walked off.
That's so funny. Are you serious? That's what she said. Yeah, she won for American Hustle. And she is so down to earth and so likable that, you know, I don't know what Wendy's experience with her was, but in the scene that Wendy filmed with her, she must have had to be in character, because she was supposed to be very angry and very bitter and very unhappy to be getting on that chariot and going into downtown. So I assume that she wasn't warm and outgoing to all of those people. But when you see her doing interviews, you cannot help but fall in love with her.
I know.
She is just so cool.
I know. Amy,
did you see the one where Jack Nicholson is trying to hit on her while she's doing the interview?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I have to say, I did watch this morning. I watched the Tina Fey and Amy Poehler did the hosting of the show, and they had their little thing at the beginning, the 9 minutes where they were very funny. Those two together are very funny.
Oh, good.
Their timing is great.
Yeah.
Tina Fey and her.
They're very funny. Well,
very good.
I'll have to go back and watch it. Tina Fey, Amy Poehler.
Do you have anything to say about Omega Alpha Equine this morning?
Well, I certainly can, because I've got now two of my horses on Biotic 8. I've got Jet on Biotic 8, and he's on a number of things right now, Biotic 8 being one of them. And then I've also got Edward on Biotic 8, because after we talked to Dr. Chang last time, I didn't realize that just giving it to him once a week was something that would kind of like reset their digestive tract and put all of that good bacteria back in there and put the probiotics in. So Edward is now on it once a week. And you know what I've realized? And I don't know if this is the same thing, but he's not as hungry as he was. And his weight has picked up. So, I mean, he's still food aggressive and everything, and he still attacks his food, but like his hay and all that, I've actually cut back his hay. So I feel like I'm saving money feeding him, because I used to just pile the alfalfa and just give him as much hay as he could eat. And now he just didn't finish it. Now he's like, okay, I'm done. And I think just because his digestive tract is kind of a little bit more normal. So that's Biotic 8. And of course, Edward and I have spent a lot of time with our good friend, Equine Chill. So that's another one of my favorite products for Edward. I don't know if you guys know, but I did a dressage test, and the comments were lovely test and great moving horse on the right track with training.
I hadn't heard that. Happy,
but you're a great rider. The confidence and development will improve. Well, thank God during this, he was actually on Equine Chill.
Do you keep that dressage test on your desk right by the microphone?
Directly to the left of my screen. I don't have it memorized, but I should. So that was obviously, you know, if you want to get comments like that, you need to go ahead and get some Equine Chill. So those are two of my favorite products, and they both come from Omega Alpha. And go to OmegaAlphaEquine.com to find out more.
Very good. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
I just said that. Is our guest ready?
Yes, she is ready.
All right, Diane Little is here from Peace by Peace Farm, and Diane is going to give us our monthly Hunter Jumper Helpful Tip of the Month. But this is actually really good, because I guess she's... Diane, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us again, and I love this topic, because said horse that I was describing that is on Equine Chill from Mega Alpha is also the biggest chicken I've ever read. We painted a new jump in my arena, same jump that's been there, but we painted it and he won't go over it. He's terrified of it. And it's the kind of thing where you go cantering up to it and you're like, he's going to do it. He's going, never mind. So, and I know we had a question about, do you have any jumping exercises for a horse that's not forward enough? Well, I'm just going to sit back and take notes, girl. Take it away.
Well, I thought it was a fantastic question, because I do think that's true. I think that a lot of times you get all these exercises about horses that are too forward for the jumps, how to make them not rush the jumps, when really, honestly, the important thing is how to create impulsion in your horses, how to create energy in your horses. Whether your horse is forward and wants to go to the jumps, or whether your horse is super, super dead quiet, you still need to learn how to create a certain amount of impulsion. You still need your leg on those horses so that they're using their hind legs, they're truly underneath of themselves, and they're kind of carrying them, they're carrying their own self, they're in self-carriage. So anyway, I thought it was a great question. And I think the biggest thing is that you have to make these horses do what they don't want to do. I was watching, and everybody should watch it, I was watching the George Morris Clinic. They have it live stream on right now on USEF, and it is so worth it to watch. I mean, you don't get opportunities to see somebody like George Morris give a clinic for 6 hours that often. So I was watching it, and one of the things that he said is that a good trainer does what the horse doesn't want to do. You're not mean to the horse, you're understanding to the horse, but you do what the horse does not want to do. So if your horse doesn't want to move forward, well, then from the time that you get on to the time you get off, you create energy, you create impulsion. And the important part to understand is that that doesn't mean run around the ring 10 times in a row each way and then run at the jump. That means learning how to really put your leg on, how to learn how to ride your horses up into the bridle. It means create a hind leg that's really quick, that's really fast, that's really energetic. And that hind leg will stay fast even if you're collected or if you're flat out galloping. So it's all about creating impulsion, and it's all about being very mindful of kind of doing that thing that your horse doesn't necessarily want to do.
So is there exercises? Obviously, this seems like something that, you know, you should practice not in front of a jump to be able to put your leg on and have it respond. I have a horse that's pretty sluggish to my leg too. Do you have exercises that you would recommend?
Yeah, I mean, I would say keep it pretty simple. You know, keep it simple. Extend down the long side. You know, then try a little bit of connection on the short side, but make sure that connection isn't slow. Make sure that connection has energy. You know, start out moving forward. Start out, you don't want to run because you want your horse's muscles to get warm, especially at this time of year. But start out with your leg on. Sometimes that's the easiest time to put your leg on because they're not wound up yet if they get wound up. So, you know, keep it simple. Get your leg on. You know, work them into your hand, into the bridle. I always try to make kind of fun patterns in my arena. I try to do a lot of transitions. I do serpentines. I do circles. I do, kind of anything, lots of counterbending, kind of keep it exciting for the horses. Don't get too repetitious on them, but also don't overthink it. You need them to step in front of your leg. So make them step in front of your leg. Go forward. Get them in front of you. Once they're truly in front of you, then try to see what happens if you collect it and try to shorten their step, but do not lose the energy.
Okay. So then you've got your horse moving in front of your leg. Do you have any over fence exercises that you recommend for this? Do you do gymnastics? What do you do?
You know, this certain thing, in my opinion, is all about flat work. It doesn't have much to do with the jumping, you know? Okay, if you have a spooky horse, you know, you were saying painted to do the jump, it's all weird. You know, you want to then, you know, maybe hop them over a couple jumps a day, real small stuff. Add it in. Once your horse is in front of your leg on the flat, add a couple jumps in. I literally, you know, just got off my horse, who is one of those horses that is either lazy or crazy. There's not much mischief. Yeah. Young, she's 5. She either has this super lazy button or super crazy button. So, you know, I'm constantly trying to find this medium. You want to find this medium canter, this medium trot that has energy but isn't extremely, extremely quick or extremely somewhat out of control. So, you know, I'm constantly trying to find that medium. And once I find it with her, I might hop over a 2/6 fence 4 times at the end of my flat work. It's kind of a good judge on where they're at. You know, it's a good judge on if you really got what you're looking for. But in general, you know, we don't, for something like getting them in front of your leg, that's something that really can't be tackled over fences. That has to be tackled before you start jumping. They need to be there before there's a jump in front of them, because obviously a jump's just going to make it that much harder.
Gotcha. So let me ask, this is going to tell a little bit about you. Do you prefer lazy or crazy if you had to pick?
Honestly, I'm a leg rider. I like to have my leg on. So I would probably say a little bit on the lazier side than the crazier side. But My mom and I are very close, and she works with me, and she has a super hot adult jumper. And I love riding him in like the meter 20 stuff. It's really fun. He's really bouncy. You know, it's a little bit less intensive on my leg pressure. But the thing about those crazy ones or those hot ones, it's even harder in some ways. You really need to force yourself then to understand that your leg is just as important as on those ones as on the ones that need you to have your leg on just to make them walk, you know?
So it's counterintuitive to put it's counterintuitive to put your leg on a crazy, but they actually kind of need that security. Jennifer, did you prefer lazy or crazy? I was always a crazy gal.
Crazy.
Yeah
definitely crazy.
Yeah. One's like, she rode crazy horses because I have an ulcer.
Yep.
Yeah, I was definitely, I was pleased. I got a handful of crazies in my backyard. So. So anyway, well, Diane, I appreciate you joining us. Anything else we need to know about jumping exercises for a horse that's not forward enough?
You know, just, you know, try to get your focus off the jumping a little bit. You know, try to get your focus on that flat work. Ride as much as you can. You know, if you can get out there 6 days a week, go ahead. And remember that it's going to take time. It's not going to be overnight. It's going to take months of working them into the bridle, working on self-carriage, working them in front of your leg before you might see a change. You know, jump once, twice a week. Or, like we said, if you have a horse that needs to get jumping fit or is a little spooky, jump 3-4 jumps every day. If they're small, basically an elevated canter stride, but it's a good school for them to have to do that on a regular basis. So just try to take your focus away from the jumping. I think that the more people can focus on the flat or just thinking about the in-between, you know, the in-between the fences, what we need there, the more success they're going to have over fences.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, Diane, thank you very much. People can find you at Piece by Piece Farm. And is it PEACE first or PEICE first?
PEACE first.
Okay. Piece, like Piece, brother, by Piece, Pick Up the Pieces, farm.com, I believe is the website. And you're on Facebook as well, right?
Yep.
So you can find her there. Well, Diane, thank you very much. And we'll talk to you again next month with our next helpful tip. I'm going to go set up some 2-foot jumps and get a good bouncy canter, and I'm going to work on that today.
Yeah, go for it.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Diane.
Thanks a lot.
I always learn stuff to build jumps next, Glenn. No more painting now.
Oh, we got to build some jumps now?
You're back to jumping? Yeah. Have to build jumps. Do we know anybody that knows how to build jumps?
Yeah, we probably do. Yeah, I think we can probably get that arranged.
Although, Glenn, why don't you build some jumps?
My brother was a jump builder for 15 years. We'll let him do it. He actually knows how to build jumps.
Let him do it. So it's Jennifer, you could do what I did as a kid and sometimes still do. Is if you just take, like, I don't know, a garbage can and maybe a wooden pallet and then maybe, like, your lawnmower, and you just kind of stack those things next to each other. You can just jump that.
That's right.
You can back your car up. Lawn furniture. Lawn furniture.
We used to do hay bales. We used to do hay bales, but our horse tends to want to stop and eat them, so the jumping never happens. So that we can't do anymore.
I can't do hay bales, and I'll tell you why. They're too damn expensive.
Yes, that's right.
What is it called? Do you remember those little jumps that we were talking to people about? And it's a plastic thing and you put it around your hay bale and it looks like you're jumping a wall.
Oh, yeah. They were like a big bag you put over your bales.
It's like a giant bag. Yeah, you put it over your hay bale and it looks like a piece of a wall. I still have those in the box because I'm sorry. I'm not wasting a hay bale. That's $15. I'm like, then I put two of them in there. That's a $30 jump right there. I'm not doing it.
And it seems like hay is expensive, right? Especially here in Florida. And I'm sure you have the same problem.
Down here, we have an advantage, Glenn, because you can buy baled pine needles. So, and they're like
$3. You can get those instead of pay.
Oh, yeah, we could do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
They don't tend to want to eat those.
Go ahead and get some.
Do you know what I had to do yesterday, though, Jamie? It's a problem you only see here in Florida. Is we had a bad storm the other night, so it got really windy. And every time it gets really windy, the Spanish moss that is loaded in these live oak trees tends to come down. Well, my little pony has decided that Spanish moss is the next greatest thing to alfalfa and eats it like crazy. So there was so much Spanish moss in this field that we couldn't put them out in that field that night. And I went and cleaned it up the next morning. I had three full overheaping wheelbarrows full of Spanish moss. So that's something you don't have in other parts
stuff.
Of the world. Well, and apparently it must taste good. He's eating it.
Really?
Yeah, he eats it. So does Beaker eats it too. But yeah, I just couldn't.
Well, isn't that the stuff? We weren't allowed to play with the Spanish moss in the trees when I was a kid. Growing up in Georgia, we go to Florida all the time. Because there's bugs in it.
Yeah, it does get bugs. Now, after it comes down on the ground, I don't know what happens to the bugs, but it tends to be the bugs disappear. But yeah, I mean, there was just so much of it that we have to be careful where the pony goes because he'll just, I don't know. Spanish moss doesn't look like it would be good for a horse.
No, that seems to be, it's like eating 4x4 gauze. It's just going to stop up.
Wait. Yes.
Eating 4x4 gauze? You need to have you never known that. Oh, gosh. When I worked at the small animal vet clinic, dogs would eat gauze and come in and they'd have to have their stomachs opened up and have it removed. I don't know why dogs like, you know, when you put a Band-Aid on and you take the bandage off and it's all gross. Dogs love that.
I was just reading here. I was just looked up Spanish moss and horses, and I found this thread on floridahorse.com. And apparently people are saying, oh, my horse loves it too. It must be safe. None of them ever got sick from eating it. It says here they don't get much nutritional value out of it other than fiber, but it doesn't hurt them either. Call it cotton candy for horses.
Yeah.
That's scientific.
That's scientific. I trust that one. You can Google anything and find your answer. So there you go.
Oh, look, this lady,
Jennifer.
Wait a minute. One more. This lady says, my horses love Spanish moss. It's a cheap treat and it's not fattening. Jeez, it's free.
Oh my gosh.
I should have taken it out of his field. I should have just left it in there. I could have fed it. I would have saved on hay.
There you go. You could have bailed it, sold it, make millions.
How did I know? Oh, well. Let's take a break
for
our
song. Hey.
You want to do that?
Let's hear the song. But Jennifer, when your vet comes out, this is the 4x4 gauze thing. When your vet comes out and they scrub a wound with a bloody 4x4 gauze and throw it on the ground, that's where the dogs get it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so there you go.
I thought you had a eating it. I really needed to know about that one.
Oh, no, the dog. Sorry. Carry on.
All right, let's take a break for our song. We're going to come back. Leslie is going to be here from Horse Nation in a little while. And we have more good stuff for you. So we'll be right back after we listen to Jared Rogerson and a song we haven't heard in a while called 14 Miles from Omaha.
Got scars, so do I. Mostly healed, but left their mark. You show me yours, and I promise you in time that I'd walk you through the graveyards in the shadows of my mind. I'm 14 miles from Omaha. I haven't slept since Solar Park. This time I'm only well, there's so many things I'm not proud of. I wouldn't trade how it ended up. If every road I chose led me to you. 14 miles from Omaha. does me good to hear you on the line. No time to sleep, too much time to think. Cause I can see those fields of corn still tasting white. But let's do the lots of a whole lot of precious time. I'm 14 miles from Omaha. I haven't slept since on the car. This time my moment has been. Where I did so many things I'm not proud of. I wouldn't trade how it ended up. Every road I chose led me to you. It's where I lost the fire of my youth. Someone else's too. But I've carried my cross up a hill to a different point of view. Miles, and I'll be off this ledge. A few more days, and I'll be back home. And I'll fix this open wound with one final stitch. But that Missouri River haunts me as I cross this morning bridge. I'm 14 miles from Omaha. I haven't slept since on the farm. Don't worry, I just passed through. Where I did so many things I'm not proud of. I wouldn't trade how it ended up. Every road I chose led me to you. 14 miles from Omaha.
That's Jared Rogerson. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. And of course, he rode Bronx for a long time, so that's where a lot of his music comes from. jaredrogerson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings and also Coach Jen. The whole team's here this morning, and we're brought to you by OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, I had something happen yesterday, and it was an email from someone who one of our sponsors, who said, I want to fax you something. And Jamie, I'll tell you what, when's the last time you ever faxed something to somebody? I can't tell you the last time I had a fax machine. I don't know.
Do people still have fax machines?
I guess that made me remember an article I saw. You're going to love this. It's from BuzzFeed. It's 14 things you didn't even realize you stopped doing. And one of them on there was faxing things. And you know what? What people still ask that occasionally. And I honestly can't remember the last time we had a traditional phone line into the house. We haven't had one of those in years.
Those kind of went by the wayside too.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you, I get such crappy reception in the house with my cell phone, I kind of wish I had one now. But that's what Skype's for. But here's 14 things you didn't even realize you stopped doing. One, booking airline tickets on the phone. I can't tell you the last time I did that. Actually called Southwest and booked a ticket. I haven't done that in forever. If I pretty much can't do it online, I don't do it. I hate calling people. So, you know, when I have to call people, don't you? I mean, wouldn't you rather just do it online? Somebody trying to sell you something extra?
Yeah. Unless I can get a cheaper ticket or a discount, I'm not calling anybody.
Yeah, because you got to wait and you got to go through their phone system. It just seems the hassle to call anybody about anything anymore. Nobody wants to call anybody. If you can't, and why can't I just text them in and say, I want a ticket to this and this? That'd be perfect. Watching live TV. Yeah, I abhor live TV. You can ask Jennifer that. Jennifer will still watch live TV, and I come in and say, is it live? And I won't stay if it's live. I just won't stay.
Jennifer, I watch live TV too. Sometimes you just want to turn on the TV and not think.
Does Chad watch live TV or does he go, I'm not watching unless it's recorded?
You know, like he watched the football game yesterday. And what he'll do is the football game starts and then an hour later he'll start watching it.
Yeah, that's right. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Yep. That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
See, they're getting you back now, Glenn, because all the on-demand channels all have it set up now that you can't fast forward through the channels, the commercials anymore.
I know.
That's why you record them.
I know. But if you miss it and I have to watch it on demand, it drives me crazy. I'm sitting there beating the flipper box. Fast forward. And it won't. Buying an actual copy of an album. You know, Jennifer had all of these great albums that she had when we first met, and we threw them all out when we started doing all the moves, and boy, do we wish we had kept them now, because some of those are worth money again. Albums are actually coming back.
I doubt if any of the ones I had were worth money. Are you talking about records?
Yeah, record albums. Yep, the actual records are starting to come back. Teenagers especially now are buying record players and buying albums again. That's becoming a big thing.
I would love to have a record player.
I know. It's kind of the nostalgia of hearing the ch-ch-ch-ch as the record's playing, you know?
Yeah. I think the only really records that I had were like the Chipmunks Christmas album. And I think the Cabbage Patch Kids had a record album.
Well, they might have been better. They might have been better than Jennifer's John Denver albums, I have to say. Chipmunks might have been there.
Country road, take me home to the place I belong, West Virginia. Yeah, I'm sorry. I love John Denver, too.
Jeez, how did I know?
See, there's two of us.
That's right.
There's two of us.
Buying and using actual paper calendars. How about paper calendars? I have to have a paper calendar. I have one on my wall. Actually, I have an Omega Alpha paper calendar on my wall that they sent me. So I just still have to have the calendar on the wall. I want to be able to look up and instantly see the calendar for the month.
My calendar is in my phone.
You haven't had a paper calendar in a while, huh?
No.
How about this one? And I guarantee you haven't. Well, you might have done this one. I think horse people still might do this one a little bit. How about writing a check at the register at a store?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, okay.
People don't write checks at registers.
Well, they do around here because remember, we live in Retirement Central. So when you go to the grocery store or Walmart or whatever, there's always an old lady in front of you writing out a check. And of course, she can never get it right and has to do a second one. It seems to take forever. I can't remember. I had forgotten how long it takes to write out checks at the register. But yeah, it's
still. You know, I looked at my checkbook and online and I was looking at all the checks I've written and every single check I've written for like the last 3 years were all to my farrier. Like the only person I write checks to. I'm like, God, these horses are expensive.
Another thing, going to an arcade. We used to go to arcades. That was before we had video games you could play in the house. So that one's ancient. That one's really old. But we used to go to the arcade at the mall when Jennifer and I first met. We used to go play this one game together. It used to cost us like $85 because of quarters to play it. How about this? When's the last time you hand wrote a letter to someone?
It's annoying. You know, I did the Christmas postcards this year, and I had to write on the back of it, and I thought it was so annoying. And this year, for the first time, I saw people actually posting their family photos on Facebook saying, this is my Christmas card, and that may happen next year.
Do you find yourself when you have to write something for a long period of time, like when I have to take notes in a meeting or something, I can't write anymore. I have to actually think about what I'm writing because I don't write anymore. You just don't write anything.
Oh, that's bad.
I know.
Yeah.
How about going to the library? Can't tell you. It's been about 20 years for me, I think. I can't tell you last time I was at the library.
I used to love going to the library.
I know. Jennifer used to love it. But
you know, when I got pregnant, actually, there's a library on base at Luke Air Force Base. And Chad and I went into the library and we checked out a couple books. He was like, I mean, it's free. We don't have to buy these pregnancy books. They just, you know, they give them to you. I got more money charged to me by not turning him in.
They still do it now?
So I'm like, that's why I stopped. They still do that. I'm like, I owe you 45 cents for one book and then like 65. I'm like, are you serious? Okay, whatever.
We had the same problem.
On my library deal.
We had the same problem. We used to end up losing the book and having to buy it, you know, for $85.
Yeah.
And the, you have to buy it. It's always 10 times more expensive than it was if you bought it on Amazon in the first place.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Can I just bring you another one and set it on the shelf?
Yeah. How about reading or subscribing to the newspaper? There are still people in our neighborhood that get the newspaper, and it's always sitting out in the middle of the afternoon. So I know they're not really interested in the newspaper, or they would have read it in the morning.
So my dad reads it every morning, goes out and gets the paper, sits down with a cup of coffee.
Wasn't he an insurance guy, though? Old insurance guys all read the newspaper.
Yeah, he still is an insurance guy, and he's old, so he's both.
How about doing math by hand? Yeah, that's a joke. The next one, having a house line. We just talked about that, having a phone line in the house. You still have one, don't you?
No, we had the Vonage for a while, and I canceled it because I realized the only time I ever used the house line was to call my cell phone to find it.
Now, here's
something ridiculous, Chad.
Here's something I want to know if you do, because you're a new mommy, and new mommies take a lot of pictures. How about creating a photo album? An actual
like a
paper
real photo
picture,
album?
Yeah, printed out pictures, you know, with the little black squares in the corners and the whole thing. No?
No, my mom sent me some pictures of when we were down visiting for Thanksgiving. She actually sent me the pictures. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with these? I don't want these, but I can't throw them away. So now I have a stack of pictures sitting on. I mean, what do you do?
Yeah, you know, I think the only time anybody ever gets pictures printed out anymore is if you want one blown up to hang on your wall. It's about the only time, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
And the last one on the list, actually using physical maps to navigate. Thank God that's over, because Jennifer was horrible at that. Oh, that was awful.
Hey. Thank God we don't have to do that. Thank God I have a GPS. I map or no map, I'm lost all the time. Chad loves maps, and he would rather look at a paper map, and he has an atlas in his car under the seat. Because he's, you know, he's a pilot. He's kind of a nerd like that. He loves that. And I'm like, which way does the GPS tell me? It can tell me to turn into a lake, and I'll turn into a lake.
I think those guys, even in case of failure or whatever, they still carry paper maps in the jets, don't they?
Yes. They have all sorts of, and their maps are like 3D maps. So I don't know. I don't get it. It's too much for my brain. Hey,
yes.
Great list, Glenn.
Thank you.
I wanted to thank you very much for posting the video of Jet back on the track.
Oh yeah. Did you like that? I didn't realize you had started racing him again until I saw that.
So funny. I mean, that would be what it was like. I'm sure that was actually his career on the track, was the horse bucking his way down the stretch. I mean, that was hilarious. And your comment was funny. So funny.
A lot of listeners thought that was Jet, too. Well, let's go to Leslie from the Wacky World of Horses by Horse Nation. It's brought to you by High Visibility North America. High Visibility North America are the distributors for the UK's number one high visibility performance sportswear range for equestrians, horses, and canines. Already the preferred choice in the UK of thousands of equestrians, numerous mounted police forces, and even the Queen's Household Cavalry. The range is not only functional and will keep you safe, whether you're in the woods or during hunting season or riding on the road or out in the trail, but it's also fashionable. These are actually coats and vests and things that are made for riders, and they're made actually to fit riders, not big fat construction guys. So you're definitely, when you want that thing that's in bright orange or bright pink or bright yellow to help keep you safe. And there was just an accident last week, actually, that we read about where two riders were hurt. It got to be dark. They weren't home yet. They got hit at night. We're not wearing bright anything. So whether it's day or night, around here, when we ride in our neighborhood or we drive in our neighborhood, we always wear the protective clothing from High Visibility North America because we have seniors. And Jennifer, what did somebody say to you last week? One of them actually pulled up and put her window down and thanked you for wearing it, right?
Yes, she said, thank you very much, because we have a lot of riders in our neighborhood. And she said, it's very upsetting because sometimes you come around a curve, and when you're riding, you hear the car coming behind you. So you walk off of the street and onto the the grassy shoulder, which means you're in the shade underneath of the trees, and it can be very hard to see because the light is bright, you're in the shade, yada, yada, yada. And she said, thank you very much for wearing that. It makes it so much easier to see you guys, and we appreciate it.
And, you know, again, we live in a semi-retirement community down here that you definitely want to wear them, but I don't care where you're riding. You check them out at highvisibilitysportswear.com. If you don't own any of their stuff yet, you should if you ride a horse outside of your farm. HighVisibilitySportswear.com. Leslie from Horse Nation, good morning.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Hey, Leslie.
I'm good.
Were you listening to my list of things that we just don't do anymore? Do you have a landline in your house?
I do, but I'm totally on board with what Jamie said. I only use it to find my cell phone, which it's worth actually having a landline for that purpose because I lose my cell phone so often.
And it really stinks when it rings and it's in the toilet. Then it's bad. That's bad. That's the worst thing. Well, now you did a lot of cool articles on Horse Nation last week, but there was one that headed the list, the top 8 things a lady equestrian simply should not do. That was very funny.
Yes, our weekend editor, Carla Lake, I do not know how she finds this stuff, but on the interweb, she stumbled across this 1838 riding manual. It's called the Young Ladies Equestrian Manual, and it just is full of hilarious advice for on a how to, as Carla put it, how to ride with propriety without scandalizing your family name.
Well, tell us some of them. What were some of them?
Yeah. It's let's see. Like, for instance, it is most appropriate, most proper to ride a bay. Didn't know that. The according to the manual, of all colors presented by the horse, none is so rich and at the same time so elegant and chaste as a bright bay, providing the mane, tail, and lower parts of the legs be black. Didn't know.
Wow.
I guess that's
prejudiced.
Fashionable.
Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, it is just full of, how to wear your hair, how to sit in the saddle, how to, don't beat your horse. It's ungraceful. Ladies certainly ought not to ride horses, which require extraordinary correction. A lady should never be seen in the act of positively flogging her steed. Such a sight would destroy every previous idea that had been formed of her grace and gentleness.
Well, I tell you what, there's a few women at horse shows I've seen that don't have any grace and gentleness left. Just say
it. Yep.
Yes. Oh, wow. Yeah, this thing is it's just a gold mine of you really should look it up. You can download it. She's got the link here through the Gutenberg project. You can download the whole thing because it's way obviously past its copyright. And just thumb through it because even the illustrations are hilarious.
Hey, hey, Jamie, we were looking for something new to read. Now, you know, you read Black Beauty and that was such a hit. We'll have you read the Young Ladies Equestrian Manual, one chapter a day.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
Oh, you really should. You really should.
I think if we don't read it, then Horse Nation needs to do a weekly ladies manual just to let us know what we should think about for the week. But I think reading a chapter a week would be a great idea.
I think that's a funny idea. And some of this writing, it's very old English, so you're gonna have fun reading it.
Yeah,
be like really bad ads.
Yes,
I can do it.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. Come to think about it, yeah, that's a good idea. Jennifer, can you see if you can come up with the entire Young Ladies Equestrian Manual? You said Google does have it.
Yeah, we have a link to it's the Gutenberg project.
Yep.
Where you can download it for free at the bottom of that put our Carlos post. So
okay.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
Anyone can look at it.
That's funny. We should take a look at doing that. How about this one, Jamie ought to relate to as well. Both of you should. And that Eventing Nation posted, and you guys recopied the 10 signs you might be an eventer. So let me go through some of these and see which one you guys can relate to. Someone mentions jumping their horse over a coffin, and this doesn't sound strange to you at all. Of course not. I mean, that definitely is a sign.
Nope. Although scary. Not my favorite jump. Yeah. But yes, normal.
The most expensive pair of pants you own are breeches. Ain't that the truth of any horse
for
woman?
Sure. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you guys.
I would never pay $100 for a pair of pants.
I wanted to ask you, what's the most you pay for a pair of jeans? What's the most you pay for your jeans?
You know, can I be honest with you guys what I do? Because I trash blue jeans. I really do. So I go to Goodwill and
I'll
buy like
eight
at a time.
That's what Jennifer does. Jennifer's answer is
$3. $3.
Yeah.
That's such a good idea.
$3.
If it's over three, she won't even buy it at Goodwill. It has to be three or less.
Yeah, half price Saturdays.
They have that out there?
Uh-huh. What else you got, Glenn?
You don't blink at spending $300 on a winter turnout blanket for your horse, but you would never spend $100 on your own winter coat. That's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Never. You think golf courses are a terrible waste of perfect terrain? Every horse person thinks that. I mean,
that's so true. Every time I drive past the golf course, I'm like, ha.
Jennifer used to be able to ride
across that.
Jennifer used to be able to ride in one of the most expensive golf courses in the country, didn't you, Jennifer? Now, don't tell anybody.
Well, it was a bridal path. It was designed to be ridden through. But yes, up at Myopia Hunt Club, they still had a bridal path through the middle of the golf course. And if you had show horses versus field hunters, it could get a little dicey because a modern aluminum driver makes a sound very similar to a whip crack when swung on the fairway. To get a little tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or, you know, golf balls trying to knock you off out of the tack.
That's true. How about when you mention going to Florida for the winter, your friends know you're not talking about spending time on the beach. And that is true. And all our all of our snowbird friends are here now, judging by the traffic and the waits at restaurants. I will tell you that they have all arrived. You shell out $250 for a 95-cent ribbon and don't think it's crazy. I think it's crazy.
Yeah,
more money than that.
Yeah, that is low now for an event, isn't it? What do you guys pay for going to a lower level event, just a one day? You don't have to stable. What will it run?
No stabling. It's about $200.
So if you have to stable overnight, now you're talking $500 by the time you're done.
Yeah, you know the entry fees out here. You have to stable out here because everything is so far away. So the stabling is about $150. The entry fees are about $225. So usually with all the USEA fees and the drug fee, it's about $385 is what I usually pay for a horse trial.
Plus
not to mention you have to then pay your coach on top of it and all that. So it's about $600. And then you tack on all the gas and all that. Basically, each horse trial is $1,000 out here. And that is why I'm not competing very much this year. We're just going to local shows.
But man, when you get that 95-cent ribbon, it does make it all worth it, doesn't it? Never think, man, I've been cheated. And you're like, oh, man, I can't wait to do this again.
I know, right? That was $1,000 totally well spent. God, that was awesome.
I can guarantee you, I'm adding one to this list, that your first saddle costs more than your first car. That's probably true of most horse people. I know it was true of Jennifer. I definitely know it was true of Jennifer because she still had that car when I met her, and it was interesting. I almost thought twice after I saw her car. I was like, oh, I don't think I can date her. But I hung in there. But that's all true. Well, I know. Those are, and you could probably list 100 more, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how about this one about recycling Christmas trees as jumps?
Oh, this is an annual tradition for me. so like if it, now is like the probably the good pickings now. But if you go to, you know, kind of do a sweep around neighborhoods in your areas or area, or what I'll do, there's a like a Christmas tree recycling center at sort of that people can just come and, you know, drop their trees off and they get mulched. And I'll just go and like get a truckload of Christmas trees and bring them out to the barn and use them for jumps as like jump filler, or you can like kind of set them upright and kind of jump through them. But it's a good way to sort of introduce your horse to brush, I think. And also, you know, just kind of fancy up your jumps a little bit until, of course, the Christmas trees die and turn brown, and then don't look so fancy. But
then you have to remulch them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You posted a video on there, which I really like because we've done this before, where they set the tree on fire, and it's amazing how fast a Christmas tree goes. It's like a torch.
Scary.
Yeah, it is really amazing to think that's in your house. It can go up that quickly.
Yeah. And that people used to put real candles on trees. I mean, goodness gracious, how many houses probably burned down before
The last picture on that page is a picture of a bunch of traffic going underneath one of those big signs that's over the highway, one of those changing signs that's over the highway, and it says, "Thanks for visiting Horse Nation. Come back soon." Is that photoshopped?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
I love it.
I was driving out on the freeway one day, and there's a sign. I was like, whoa, what a coincidence. I better take a picture. Definitely not photoshopped.
No, I didn't think so.
No. God, no. Can I tell you guys, I'm listening to your stories, and I'm dying to go to horsenation.com to review all of these stories, but my computer froze when I clicked on this thing that Glenn posted. And it's the
you
people
resist,
that don't wear
you?
Pants on the subway. I couldn't resist. I'm looking. I clicked on it while the song was playing, and my computer has been frozen on a guy with no pants on waiting for the subway train this entire time we've been talking. And my mouse is frozen. I might lose connect. I can't do anything because I can't lose connection here. But I just want you guys to know that right now I'm staring at what appears to be a pantsless New Yorker waiting for the train. This whole time.
That is.
Thanks for posting all that crap that we have to now freeze our computers and dumbass and debug the whole thing. Thanks, Glenn.
It didn't freeze on mine. This is one day where it would actually pay to live in the city because it's No Pants Day around the world. 60 people in 60 different cities are doing this. It started in 2002 in New York. This acting company did it as a joke where they just went with no pants, just their underwear on the subway. Well, now it's become a thing, so much so that tens of thousands of people do it in subways all around the world. And there's pictures of people in England and Russia and China. And they all are, and I'm shocked at how many girls wear thongs. I didn't realize that many wear thongs, especially when it's No Pants Day. But it looked a little chilly in some of the places. They're in their winter coats with no pants.
They have no pants day in like June.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, right?
It did look a little chilly in some of those shots, but I want you to know I spent no time at all. I didn't spend a half an hour looking at the pictures of No Pants Day this morning. I really didn't.
I'm not stuck on it right now. Thanks for posting that. Anyway, so horsenation.com is where you need to go. No Pants Day. Don't click on the link, Glenn.
Don't click on that.
Your computer. Yeah. Ridiculous.
But if you want to get a million hits today on one of your posts, Leslie, you will post about No Pants Day.
No Pants Day.
Yep. Huh. If you want to see with a link, it's on Horse Husbands Unite. I posted it over there.
I'm gonna look into this.
Yeah, you want to get about a million hits on your page? You just take some pictures and post it up there. You'll be fine. Be good for the day. You'll get a raise. Promise.
Maybe people riding with no pants.
Hey, by the way, I see Eventing Nation got a facelift last week, and Jamie and I had a complaint about it, and I wrote to John, and he took care of it the same day. I was impressed.
I know. They did.
Did you notice
awesome.
That?
I was really,
Yeah, well, they deleted my comment and then fixed it. So at least they fixed it at the same time.
Well, I wrote John an email. He got back to me within like 10 minutes. It was just very hard with all the blinky ads on both sides of the page to read. And I wrote him a little note and said, your mind just can't do it. I'm going nuts here. And he fixed it within a couple hours. So good for him.
Yeah, that was a great suggestion.
Well,
sure.
Your mind just can't do it. It was just, yeah. it's going, ah. So now it's fine. But no overhauls in place for Horse Nation. I like Horse Nation. You're not going to fix it, are you? It's not broke.
I've got some things in mind. I don't know about a huge overhaul because I like the simplicity of the format the way it is too. But yeah, I have some plotting some things.
Well, okay. Well, we'll be anxious to see your plottings because you come up with some great stuff.
So. You'll like it. You'll like it.
All right, good. Glad to hear it. Well, thanks, Leslie. Horsenation.com is where you can find all of the articles. And we just touched on it. She posts about 100 a day. So head on over there. Thanks, Leslie.
Take care. Have a great week.
He did. I was very impressed he fixed that so quickly.
Yeah, I got to go. I can't stare at this pantsless guy anymore. I've got to restart my computer. Awful.
All right, let's call it a day. I didn't tell you had to click on it. I didn't tell you had to do it.
But at least make it one of the cute guys. This guy is not doing it for me.
Well, let's call. Hold on a second.
Let's call it a day.
Yes.
Everybody, thank you.
Hold it a second. I got to talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow we have Endurance Day here on Horses in the Morning. Karen will be back. Matter of fact, she has a microphone now, so she'll sound better. She won't be on the phone anymore, so she'll be back here tomorrow. And she has some guests lined up. Should be a lot of fun on Endurance Day here on Horses in the Morning. And, of course, we'll all be back here Wednesday morning as well. Okay, that's all I wanted. Say goodbye, Jamie.
Stay neuter and geld. I'm saying goodbye. Y'all have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld.
All right. See ya. Take your pants off and ride the subway.
God, I can't wait to get rid of this thing. Thank God my husband hasn't walked in. He's like, why are you staring at a pantsless guy waiting for the subway?
Oh, you could just say, because somebody else forgot me. I was hoping he'd remember me.